Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one place to another and try to get to the point. Today's point, it's a follow-up point. I filmed the South of Midnight video yesterday, or at least half of it, which went pretty good. I also finished Act 1 of Expedition 33, and holy cow. Holy cow. I'll talk about South of Midnight, the video, for a couple minutes here, and then I will raise the spoiler horn so that if you're spoiler-averse to the first act of Expedition 33, which I made my opinions on spoilers quite clear in previous episodes, but also this one kind of got me, so, you know, I'll take my lumps on that one. The South of Midnight video, I ended up doing my first kind of on-location-ish shoot for it. There's a nice park around here, like a good state park in my area that has a bit of a, just like a beautiful lake and like a nice pond area with lily pads and, you know, your typical pond fair. And I thought that it would be perfect for shooting some of the South of Midnight stuff for B-roll, and then also just for, you know, I posted about this on Blue Sky, but I feel like there's this sense that video games are supposed to be for inside, and that, you know, it's for being in the dark and just having your face lit by the glow of a television. But, and it, you know, it feels like video games are not a thing to be discussed or talked about in the out of doors. So it was just kind of nice to, you know, have my highly specific video about the combat in South of Midnight and to be surrounded by the beautiful sounds of nature and water and birds flying everywhere and utter the phrase Doom, Halo, Destiny, and Call of Duty. Just it felt like a very strange and weird thing to do, but also I think that game, like South of Midnight, definitely deserves talking about in kind of a surprising and weird kind of location. So it was a fun thing. My original spot that I wanted to shoot the video in is like a wetland area that has a kind of like tiny 2x6 bridge that you walk through. It's kind of like a protected wetland, but it was under construction, so I was not able to do that. So what ended up being, or what was supposed to be, a quarter mile hike to the location that I wanted to use ended up being a 3 mile hike to the location I ended up using. And then, you know, you will probably notice in the video your boy is a little bit sweaty and a little bit hot, but that's fine. It worked. We got there. And it generally, the on location shooting went well. I think I need to like do a little bit more prep, just to like nail down exactly what stuff I need to shoot. I had like a rough idea of what I wanted to shoot, but it was a lot of on-site procurement, if you will. But yeah, it went well. I'm kind of happy with where it is right now. I'm still kind of looking to put it together in the edit. I still have the second half that I want to shoot, because I guess that, like, this episode has, it's got a pretty spoiler heavy second half that I don't necessarily think is like as paramount to play the game up to a certain point as perhaps the discussion on Act 1 of Expedition 33, but I think that if you want to have some fun with it and hear how South of Midnight ends and kind of how the themes and the combat play into that ending, which I think it does, but not in the way the game wants you to think it will, it's gonna be a good one. I'm really happy with how it turned out so far, and hopefully that will be coming out later this week. It's looking to be a long one, so we'll see how I can clean it up in the edit. But I'm hopeful that by the end of this week, there will be a video out on South of Midnight called, tentatively, Kindness and Violence in South of Midnight. Because that's, that's really what that game is about, and it's also what that video is about. And it's, you know, kind of a weird thing to do that, and also the part of the process of making that video is going for a nice wilderness hike. But yeah, I'm happy with the South and Midnight video so far, and I'm hopeful that you will be too, because it's kind of the perfect example of something that Logan and I have been talking about a lot with games, and kind of where our like taste in games coverage is going. A lot of that is, you know, we've had this like general notion the past couple months when we're doing 70% complete episodes that's like talking about play versus practice. And I, you know, as it compares to he and I and how we play games. So like I'm very much a play person, and it ends up that the way that Logan plays games, he's much more of a practice person, like getting good at something, and what it takes to do that, and why he likes to do that. And this kind of falls into, like, the South of Midnight video definitely falls into the play category of, like, how I play this game and what playing this game feels like to me. But I can definitely see the read that he will have, I suspect, if he were to play South of Midnight, that, like, the practice part of this is also not working. And I think that the video that I'm putting out about, you know, the combat in South of Midnight and, you know, is it good or is it bad, and to what degree is it good or bad and why? I think this video will probably help explain that a little bit, at least. But yeah, that's the South of Midnight video. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. And it'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. All right. I have given you time. It is now time. It's time that we're going to talk about the end of Act 1 of Expedition 33, because I kind of want to talk about it. There's not like a ton that I want to say necessarily, but I feel like there was this kind of this moment that happens with a lot of these games where it's the I'm trying to think of the best example of this, but it's basically the, hey, like, this is a, like, JRPG-style game, and in order for you to get to the part where the game is, you should play the, you know, the first 12 hours. And then if you're not vibing with it by the first 12 hours, then, like, this one's not for you. But that's where the first big thing happens, and, like, the game opens up and, like, becomes about, like, themes and, you know, you meet the one character who's like a big surprise, etc., etc. I guess that's kind of true with Expedition 33. So I guess if you have not caught up on what Expedition 33 is, there's a billion videos to go watch about that. There's a really good video by Cognitive Clips that I like, shout out, about the prologue of that game. And I think that if you play through the prologue, which will take you like half an hour maybe, and then go watch that video, and if those two things aren't working for you, then I think you can be done. But there's something about the way that Expedition 33 does its themes about loss and grief and moving forward that, you know, it's like literally every battle screen ends with the not continue, but we continue, which is a phrase that's used in the game a lot. And it's just about marching forward no matter what, to like do the thing that needs to be done. And there's a second part of that. And it's, you know, we continue. And then one of the other phrases they say is for those who come after. That phrase is used at the end of Act 1 in, like, just, like, an absolute gut punch kind of way. And it's, like, it's powerful. Like, it works because everything in that game is working towards that moment up to that point. Like, there is the camaraderie between the expeditioners as you find them, And then there is this, multiple times when you stay at camp, there's multiple like nightmare sequences that Mael has that is like foreshadowing and alluding to a confrontation coming up. And I think that when you look at something like Expedition 33 and you see, like, you kind of see the scope of that game, where it's, you know, that there is an overworld map that you run around, and there are, you know, a smaller, like, open zone game areas that, you know, you run into enemies, and there's, like, little pieces of dialogue here and there. But I think the thing that works best for the game is that they have a really tight handle on the pacing, even when it doesn't feel like there is. And I mean that mostly in that there is a... there's a nightmare sequence that you get because the game basically forces you to make camp. And it's just like, it's not, I don't know, like, you can tell that it's the game saying, hey, it's time to do this thing because this is important. But the pacing of the game does the thing where you play it and then, you know, Mael says, hey, like, before we go into this cave and like start this dungeon, let's take a break. And there's so much stuff to do running around that, running around the camp, like, you upgrade your lumina points and you do your weapons and you talk to everyone and you write in your journal. And by the time you do all of that stuff, you kind of just forget that this entire sequence is forced, that, like, you are supposed to do this before you can proceed with the game. So then it shows you the nightmare sequence that will play into the end of that dungeon, and you don't think about it. You're like, oh wow, like, there's this crazy thing that just happened, and then 2-ish hours later you get hit with the, like, boss battle and everything at the end of Act 1, and it all starts to click into place. And I think that that's kind of like the benefit of, like, the JRPG, like, open roam situation they have going on, is that it allows you to get distance from all of the things that, you know, you'll end up seeing in a cutscene compilation, and that it makes that distance, it doesn't make that distance more, like, more powerful or impactful when it happens, but the thing that I think really works for it is that it gives you just enough distance that you forget. That you forget, like, you're able to just live in the combat and live in the moment, and, you know, you're exploring, you're doing all of this stuff, because between the cutscenes, it's just a video game. Like, you just end up, like, running around and doing the battle stuff. But the game continues to reiterate to you as you play that, like, no, like, this is serious, and bad things happen to good people all the time. And yet, like, we must continue. Like, we have to continue for those who come after us. And it's really interesting that, almost ultimate spoilers, but the end of Act 1, like, fully ends with a camp scene and a new party member joining the group. And this party member inhabits the most of For Those Who Come After, because he is from before. And it, you know, there's a lot going on with this character, I think, that we will probably find out more in Act 2 and Act 3, and, like, his connections with Renoir and all of that. But I just find it really interesting that the pacing of this game and, like, the... because it is a shorter JRPG experience, it's able to have, like, these impactful moments that don't feel separate from the combat and, like, separate from one another, but they do have enough space to let them breathe and let you kind of discover them and find their connections, which I think is, like, it's a really well done way of doing it. And it also means that, as a person who does not necessarily love the JRPG combat style in this game, I guess maybe that's a topic for another episode. But it makes it all worth it still. Like, I am willing to go through this combat that I don't necessarily enjoy or love all that much, because almost every, you know, every hour or so, they're hitting me with things that kind of just carry me along and kind of give me something to look forward to when, you know, getting lost in how I can use all of these 18 moves on three characters to, like, have the most synergized way of destroying this enemy. Or, like, you know, getting frustrated by the parry timing on, even on story mode. But yeah, I think, I guess that's not, like, a super spoilery take on Expedition 33, but the moment at the end of Act 1 that I think you should see, like, really, it really hits. It is, like, very much a surprise when, of just, like, a perfect horror movie looming dread, and it feels like it shouldn't have been a surprise, especially with a lot of the news about perhaps how long the voice actor was in the booth working on this character, and even, like, what is foreshadowed in the beginning of the game with the Gamage and everything. But it's really well done. I'm excited to keep going. I hope that it keeps up its momentum. My last thought, though, my actual last thought, you love to see Ben Starr. Huge fan of Ben Starr in this game already. Love his voice. Need him in lots of other things. But not a big fan of what dude looks like. He's got, I don't know. It didn't seem like a good trade in the looks department, is what I will say. But that will be the end of this one. Thanks for hanging out. And like I said, stay tuned. Look for that South of Midnight video. Go play Expedition 33. Check out the podcast. We had a good one out last week that was about Blasphemous and switching to Linux and, you know, all that fun stuff. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you tomorrow. See ya.